Let me start with prayer and then go ahead and turn in your Bibles and we'll just have a great time. Heavenly Father, what a great afternoon. What a great time, Lord, getting to be at the conference. And thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy to us. Lord, may we never take for granted that you sent your Son. He died and rose again, and he gives eternal life to all who believe in him. And thank you, Lord, that the offer is eternal life and that we can know for sure that we have life forever with Jesus Christ, simply based on his promise to us. We thank you, Lord, for the Bible, how perfect your word is. Lord, we just ask you that you'd teach us now as we study, as we look at the Bible. We'll ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, 2, 9, 8, 9, and 10. You know, I love GES. I love coming. It's always one of the greatest times for me because I get to see so many of you and the friends and the fun, and it's just great. When you talk about Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, it's a great passage. And we're going to look at it. If somebody said, what is your favorite Bible verse? I would probably say my favorite Bible verse is John 3:16. But the second most favorite thing that I love is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and then you could put 10 in there as well. So as we're going to look at this, and I've got this little clicker, and what I found out is if you go this way and click, it won't work. You have to do right there. So I've been practicing doing it behind my back and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so what we're going to look at as we do that is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. We're going to see the grace of God, and that's God's gift, the salvation. And then we're going to see the plan of God, and that is to do good works and to service. So as we think about this, we're going to say, what has God done for us? That's our salvation. And what are we to do for God? That's really our service. And we're going to see that, and that's why I call this grace and works together. And if you start out, we think of one of the great verses in Acts chapter 16 when the Philippian jailer asked the great question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, to be saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And we've talked in this conference about what do you mean belief? That's being assured of something, you know, and what does it mean to be saved? And we don't mean saved temporarily. I remember I was thinking one time somebody could say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And you say, well, that doesn't say really anything about eternal life. But the truth is, saved from what? Saved from hell? Is that temporary? That's a temporary thing? Or saved to be able to go to heaven? Is that temporary? No, it's eternal. And so the Bible, as we look at it, every time it's always eternal, eternal life. And so we're going to look at, I think, Paul, and of course, he's writing to believers. And once again, this was brought up a little bit in the last session. But when we look at Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, Paul is writing to believers. He's not trying to give them the gospel message and give them the salvation message and all that, because they already know it. But he does mention it. He talks about how they were dead in trespasses and sins, but God has made them alive. They walked according to the principality of the area of the world, but then God has made them alive and saved them. And so the big idea is, how as a person saved, and then as a saved person, what are we supposed to do? And in our group, especially Grace, a lot of people say, oh, it's all faith. It never works. And it's true. It's works and faith, they don't go together in that way. But works and faith do go together. And not for salvation. And there's that thing. I told this in my main session. There's a church in our town that tells people that when they come to Stillwater Bible, they'll say, oh, you go over there, you'll go to hell. And they say that because they say that we say you can believe in Jesus and live any way you want to, and it has nothing to do with works. We don't say that. We say you believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life, and that's not works, and that's salvation all the way. But you can't just live any way you want to. You want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And so in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, we see the whole idea of the salvation aspect, and then we see the Christian life aspect. And so two key truths, salvation, and that's true. Either people will be with Jesus Christ forever, or they'll be separated from Christ forever. And then the whole life service. What is God's plan for us as believers? What are we to do? And so these verses in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, and that's the thing. Most people, a lot of times, people will quote 8 and 9, and they leave out 10, and they actually go together. So as we look at this, we're going to look at 2, 8, and 9 deal with our salvation, and verse 10 deals with our service, what we're supposed to do. So let's look at the idea of our salvation, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. We all know it, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we see that. We go, isn't that beautiful? Salvation is a gift from God. It is not based on our works. It is based on his grace to us. So salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, for eternal life. Now, one of the things we do at our church is we talk about there's a threefold aspect of when we tell people to present the good news message. And it's really simple. It goes back to John 3:16, and it's basically the message. There's a message, there's a response, and there's the offer. The message is that Jesus died and rose again. It's just like this. Salvation is believing in Jesus for eternal life. You could say you don't have to even tell them he died and rose again. But as Prof. Hodges always said, we're going to always tell people what Jesus did. He died on the cross to pay for sin, and he rose again to conquer death. So the message is Jesus died and rose again. The response is to believe in Jesus. We'll get more in just a second. But all the way through the scripture, it's believe, 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 believe. I like it when you look at the Gospel of John. 98 times, he talks about salvation being by faith or by believing. Over 160 places in the New Testament. Well, what's the offer? The offer is eternal life. That's really helped me in about the last 3 to 4 or 5 years to put together that the idea is, what is Jesus offering to us? And we saw it really plainly today. And it goes way back, even before, as we remember, before that 2006 conference, the writings. The offer is eternal life. He's not offering a good life, a happy life. He's saying, I'm offering the gift of eternal life. And so as we think through that, I mean, it's powerful. So let's think about the salvation. And as you look at that verse, I picked out several words that stand out. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not out of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So I picked out those words, those five words that stand out. And I think if you look at them, there's four positive and one negative. The four positive is grace, saved, faith, give. The negative is not self, not work. I've kind of put those together, not self, not works. And so we want to look at those just briefly, just for fun. And this is not gigantic theological truths. These are great practical truths. And that's why I think Paul wrote it to the Ephesians. When you look at the church as a whole in Ephesus, they had some problems. Paul writes this letter, and then, of course, there's a revelation letter to them. And then when Paul wrote to Timothy, where was Timothy? These people, they needed some help. And so he's reminding them, listen, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You walked according to the prince of power of the air. You walked according to the devil of this age and all of that. You walked according to the power of the flesh, but God in his grace has saved you. By grace you've been saved. He's made you alive. And then he comes to those great verses and says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of work, not of yourself, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So let's look at those words just for a second. And this, for me, I wanted to do this as more of an encouragement to all of us. Because we can be real theological, just like we can start going back and saying exactly what does this word mean, how does this fit, and all those kind of things. But I wanted you to be encouraged. And so let's look at the first of the words, and the first one is by grace. And when we say grace, what is grace? I talk all the time about grace and say, grace is unmerited favor, and grace is getting what you don't deserve, and God, grace is doing all of this that God does for us, God's total plan of salvation, past, present, future, all of the grace of God. And most people don't understand grace. You'll hear people say it's the grace of God, but, and then they'll say, but. Or they'll say, yeah, you got to do this, or you got to be willing to do this. I heard a guy on TV, it's been about a couple of years ago, but he said, I want you to know that God has a great message of grace for you. And I'm listening, I'm going, wow. He says, it's faith in Christ. And so if you're willing, you already know, you already heard something right there. And before he even gets to his part, he just said, it's by faith and it's the grace of God. And if you're willing to repent of your sins, give your life to Jesus, walk down an aisle and make a public profession, you can be saved. So he was saying, it's going to be grace, and I'm pumped. And then he adds all these things. So there's a lot of people who say, oh, it's grace. But they don't mean grace like we mean grace. They don't understand it is. God's plan is God loved us. God demonstrated his love for us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. It's all the grace of God over and over and over again. And I think that when people grasp grace, it changes them. It changes them because instead of trying to do good things for God, they're trying to get it somehow. Now we live for God because of what he's done for us. We understand grace. And then the next word is by grace. That's what merited favor. Grace, we've been saved and have been saved. It's past tense, but it's perfect tense in the Greek, which is a past action with a continuing results. So by grace you have been saved. You've been saved in the past. That's why he's writing to these people. He says, these people, y'all been saved in the past, and it continues on forever. We're saved. It's a past action. What are we saved from? Let me ask you this. I sometimes, in my membership training class, there are people joining our church, I'll say, when you believed in Jesus Christ for eternal life, did you do that to keep from going to hell? And people go, no. And I go, really? I did. I trusted in Him to keep from going to hell because He's my Savior. See, I was supposed to be going to hell because it says whoever doesn't believe will perish. And so I believed in Him for eternal life, so I wouldn't go to hell. Could I have been saved from what? From hell. Saved from separation from God. People are going to either live forever with Jesus Christ, or they're going to... Let me say it this way. People are going to exist forever with Jesus Christ, that's called eternal life, or people are going to exist separated from Jesus Christ, that's called the second death. And it's based on faith. All people come in this world dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus Christ has already paid for all sin. The bottom line is not our sin. The bottom line is faith. Do we believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life? If we do, we have eternal life and we're with Him forever. If we do not believe in Him for eternal life, we have what we call the second death, and we're separated from Him forever. And so when I raise that question, and I say, and I ask people, so why did you believe in Jesus? And they'll say, because I wanted to serve Him. I said, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You didn't have one idea about what it meant to serve the living God. I mean, the bottom line is, He's offering what? What's His offer? Eternal life. So by grace, you have been saved. It's past action, continuing results. We were saved in the past forever. Saved from what? Separation. Through faith. Oh, faith is probably, I think it's probably one of the most misunderstood words, because everybody wants to add something to it, and they'll say faith, well, there's an intellectual faith, and there's a heart faith, and there's a head faith, and there's all kind of faith, and there's a real faith, and then there's not a real faith, and there's a, did you really believe, or did you just sort of believe? How does it all work? And we know that faith is faith. Faith is taking God at His word. That's why I tell people, I say faith is taking God at His word. It is being persuaded. I did a study not too long ago, because I had read this where Paul says, we persuade men, we persuade people. And I thought, yeah, persuade. I've heard, you know, and so I looked it up. I was surprised how many times in the New Testament it talked about persuading and used interchangeably with believing, of course, because I think being persuaded is believing something. And we remember where Paul was in prison and all those people came, all those Jews came to hear him, and he talked to them from the morning to the evening and said, and some believed and some were not persuaded. He's basically saying some believed, some didn't believe. Some were persuaded, some weren't persuaded. And so I think faith is being persuaded. That's what it is. I think it's taking God at His word. It's the provision as Jesus' death and resurrection. And then that's the provision that He died and paid for all sin. And then we believe in Him for eternal life. It's faith is taking God at His word. By the way, it always has an object. I've had people say, you just got to believe. And I always say, believe what? What are we believing? We believe in God exists. Do we believe that He died on the cross and paid for sin? Is that what we believe for salvation? We'd say, well, we believe that, but that's not what saves us. We're believing in Him for eternal life. That's His offer. And so our faith, I put down that there's like at least 150-something places in the New Testament where it talks about faith. And Galatians 3:26, you're children of God by faith. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, and we trust in Him and all of that. So for by grace, you've been saved through faith, and that not yourselves. It's the gift. Our faith is in Christ. It's a gift. I love the idea of a gift. I like gifts, by the way. If any of you would like to give me a gift, you could. But think about it. What is a gift? A gift, when somebody gives you a gift, your first thought, if somebody says, hey, I got this for you, your first thought is, golly, I didn't get them anything. Right? And you think, I need to go get them something. And we don't understand. A gift is not a swap thing. A gift is not, they gave me a gift, so I got to go get them a gift. You know, a gift is something freely given. And so when you think about it, a gift is something freely given. Let me put, I have to click toward this way. It's something freely given. It's a present. Now, let me ask you something. On your birthday, what do you get? You get presents. What did you do? Nothing. In fact, your mother did everything. She ought to get all the presents because she is the one that got you out of there and got you going. And so the bottom line is, you think about it, somebody gives you a gift and you go, wow, thank you. And your first thought is, wow, what should I do for them? The answer is nothing. Because, in fact, if you do something for them, it's not a gift anymore. I like to... Yeah, you had a question?
I had people say, you know, what is the gift? Is it faith?
No, we'll get to that in just a second, because that passage says, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and that, not of yourselves, and a lot of people want to say that refers back to faith. And we'll talk about it in just a second. But when you talk about getting a present or when you talk about a gift, I'll do this sometimes. I'll say, hey, listen, I got a deal for you. I will give you $20 to wash my car. Am I giving them $20? No. And people will say, that's a gift. I said, that's not a gift. You have to do, if you have to do anything for it, it is no longer a gift. I like Romans 11:6. If it's by grace, it's no longer on the basis of the works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Listen, if you say you get this for free, if it's not for free. And so by grace, we have been saved through faith and not of ourselves. And we're going to come back to not ourselves in just a second. It's the gift of God. So when you think about it, saved, grace, saved, faith, gift. And so that's why I love this passage, because what is he saying? It's by grace. You're saved from being separated from God. You have eternal life. It's by the fact that you've been persuaded, that you take in as true. You're taking God at his word, what he says, and it's a gift. And I think that, just being honest with you, the gift is eternal life. And as Bob brought out even earlier while they were doing the questions, if you go back to verses 4 and 5 and 3 and 4, where he says, by rich in mercy, which he when we were dead, he has made us alive together. By grace you've been saved. I mean, the whole idea of our salvation is a gift, and that's what it's referring to. And so the passage which says, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. I quoted R.C. Sproul in my main message. R.C. Sproul was one of the smartest people I've ever seen. He spoke really well. I don't believe hardly anything that he taught, because he was reformed. He was reformed all the way. But he actually, I heard him on a tape, back when it was tapes. I heard him on a tape where he said, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that refers back to the faith. God has given you the faith. That faith is not of yourselves, that God gives you the faith. The reform view is that you're dead in trespasses and sins, you can't believe anything, and so God comes along and gives you faith, making you believe and regenerating you, really, before you believe. Regeneration in reform theology, regeneration precedes faith. And so he says, so he actually taught that. But let me tell you, I'm not very smart. I had Greek. And I know that by grace you've been saved through faith, and that cannot refer to faith. Because faith is feminine, and that is neuter. And in the language, the pronoun has to refer back in case and number and everything. And it doesn't. In fact, the best way to look at it is by grace you've been saved through faith. That whole thing is that's not of yourself. And so when people want to pull that, it breaks my heart. To see people, and I've seen people confused, and I don't mean in a bad way, and I know that R.C. Sproul is passed away, but he taught things that he knows Greek language. I guarantee you that he knows Greek language, and I'm not very smart, but I know enough Greek to be able to say these can't match. They can't match. In fact, the whole why would the author put it in neuter? If it couldn't match, right, Bob? It has to match. It has to match. Anyway, so now then we got the negatives, and the negative is not of yourselves, and then it's not of works, but it's not of yourselves. Isaiah passes. I've always quoted this passage. I looked at it. I'm not sure if that's exactly what it's talking about, but it says all our works are filthy rags. And the truth is, ourselves is nothing. In Titus, it's not by works of righteousness we've done. It's not, but it's by His mercy that we're saved. Look, salvation is not of ourselves. And I thought some good things came out in some of the messages where they would say something like, it's faith, but you got, you know, and what you're really saying is, it may be faith, but it's actually yourself. It's what you do. You have to keep doing it. You may have initial salvation, but you may not have final salvation. The only way you can have final salvation is what you do. But the Bible says it's not of works. It's not of yourselves. And it can't be. And because we don't do it, you know. Galatians 2:16, knowing a man is not justified by what? By the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And he says, even we have believed in Christ that we may be justified by the faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, what? No flesh could be justified. Why? Why can't we be justified by the law? Because you can't keep it. And that's why salvation is always faith, because it's not what we do. It's what God has already done. And then he says, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I thought a lot about the idea that how many people say things, but I was willing to do this. And they could actually boast. And the truth is, if you do anything to be saved, you could say, I did that. I did that. I remember, this is going to be sort of weird, but I went to Dallas Seminary, and I went to this church, and they actually said, we want you to teach a Sunday school class, but you have to be a member. And so I said, well, how do I become a member? And they said, well, you got to be in the service, and you got to walk down to the front. And I remember, I mean, I'm 30-something years old, and I'm sitting there, and I'm nervous about walking down to the front of a church. I mean, I don't know why. Because, I was in a Bible study when I understood about Christ and had salvation, so it wasn't any big deal. But I remember thinking to myself, what if a person thought the only way they could be saved is walk down to the front? I don't know if I would... I don't know if I'd have the courage to get up and walk down to the front thinking that somehow that would save me in front of all these people and stuff like that. And see, it isn't. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And if you could boast, you could say, you know, I was willing to do that. I was willing to do that. And I've talked to some people, and they would say things like, well, when you're a little further down the road and you can do this, then you might could know something. And you just want to look at them and go, no, salvation in that way. Galatians 6:14, but may it never be that I should boast, except in what? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do I have any aspect of saying that I have eternal life? I told this in my main session, but I trusted Christ when I was in college, wondered in that Bible study, they shut the door, and then I believed in Christ and I knew I had eternal life. And let me say something, I'm like Bob Wilkin. Before I believed in Christ for eternal life, I wasn't sure I was going to heaven. I was fairly confident because I did a lot more good than bad, because that's what my plan was. Do more good than bad, you'll stand before God and you'll be okay. So I if you'd have said, you think you're going to heaven, I would have said, I'm pretty sure I am. But I wasn't perfectly confident because I knew that I had done wrong. I just want to make sure I kept doing more rights than wrong. But after I believed in Christ for eternal life, I was completely confident that I had eternal life. And it wasn't that because I'd done more good than bad. It was because Jesus Christ promised to me everlasting life the moment I believed in Him. And I'm so fortunate that the Bible study that I wandered into were grace people. They taught the grace of God all the way. From the beginning, have only known the grace method. And I have never doubted my salvation. Now, I'm a bad person. My thoughts are bad. If you turn inside and you look to your thoughts and you look at your lifestyle, and me, everybody want, anyone of y'all want your thoughts put up right here? We'd say, I don't think so, right? Because if we looked at ourselves in any way, shape, or form, we would say, we don't deserve to go. Of course we don't. And we're not good enough to go. And no, of course we're not. And even, we're not good. No. But it is His grace. By grace we have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Our boasting is in the cross. Our boasting is in Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again for us, giving us eternal life. Here's the way I look at this. I look at religion as man trying to please God, and Christianity as God pleasing God. Because when you look at the religions, and when I say Christianity, I'm talking about true Christianity. That when you look at religion, it's what is it? It's people trying to do something to get to God, whether they go on a hajj or whether they go to church or whether they do so many Hail Marys or whether they do so much stuff. They're doing all these things trying to get to God in some way. And that's what I was trying to do, do more good than bad. But true Christianity is God so loved the world, He gave His Son, God pleasing God, not man. We can't, you know, we're trying to please God. That's religion. Christianity is God pleasing God. God so loved the world. We can only look to Jesus Christ. That's who we look to. He's the Savior. It's not what we do. It's not what we're going to keep on doing. Now, we're talking salvation now. We're talking about eternal life salvation. It's not what we're going to do. It's not what we're going to promise to do. It's not our faithfulness. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. Salvation is not what we give to God, but what He gives to us. Salvation is not what we promise God, but what He promises us. And I think it's powerful, powerful, powerful. Now, with that in mind, and we got just a few more minutes left, let's talk about the second part. And that, if I can make this work, what is God's plan for us? Because Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So what is God's plan for us? And this is where words come in. And let me just say this. As I've told you many times, people will say, "Oh, you grace people, you believe that you can believe in Jesus and do anything you want to." We don't believe that. We believe you can believe in Jesus and you're saved and saved forever. And then you are to walk worthy of the calling. You are to live out who you are. We realize we are His workmanship. Now, there's something I want you to notice in this passage. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing, it's the gift of God." But when you get to verse 10, it changes. It says, "For we are His workmanship." We serve Christ. Look at this. Ephesians 2:8-9, it's you and it's singular aspect, and this is we, it's plural. It's the body of Christ. 2:10 is talking about the body of Christ. 2:8-9 are individual about what by grace you have been saved through faith. But when you get to 10, he says, "But we are His workmanship." And he's talking about corporately. He's talking about the body of Christ. Now, it is true that every one of us are created in Christ Jesus for good works, but he's talking about the body of Christ that's created in Christ Jesus for good works. And it's beautiful. And I hope you got that. But look at this. We are His workmanship. The word for workmanship is the word, I think I've got it. No, I don't. The Greek word is poem. It means, we get the word poem from it. It's like we are His poem. We are His special thing. Some people say we are His workmanship, His craft, His special tapestry. And when you really think about it, each one of us within the body of Christ, and then the body of Christ as a whole, is the special workmanship that God has done. I think about individual believers and tied into the corporate aspect. But every one of us are unique and special. We have gifts, talents, and abilities. At our church, we always talk about, we talk about spiritual gifts, but we tie in their talents and abilities as well. And we say everybody's got spiritual gifts, talents, and abilities that God will use for His glory. And all that together is the we. We are this workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's why some of the Reformed people say they misunderstand that. They'll say, "You've been set apart by God to do good works, and if you don't do good works, you're not a Christian." This is we, the corporate body. And we as the corporate body have been set apart by God to do good works. The church's job is to be lights in the midst of a fallen world. We could say this, we are not saved by good works, we're not kept saved by good works, but we are saved to do good works. It's pretty powerful. Here's something, I did a study in the book of Titus, I've just taught through it, and I started realizing the book of Titus is all about doing good works. Look at this, Titus 2:14, talk about God, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to do what? To purify for Himself a people for His own possession. What are we supposed to do? Eager for what? Good deeds. Look at this right here. Titus 3:8. This statement is trustworthy, and concerning those things I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to do what? To be engaged in good deeds. Why? Well, these things are good and beneficial for people. Then look at this. Our people must also learn to engage in what? Good deeds. To meet pressing needs, so they will not be unproductive. When you really get down to it, what are we supposed to be doing? We, as the body of Christ, are supposed to be doing good works. And then we individually are supposed to do good works. So we are created by God to do that. As a new creation in Christ, as children of God, as those who belong to the body of Christ, if those have been saved, we do good works. So when you look at it, he says, "For by grace you have been saved." Past tense, continuing on forever. Through faith, taking God at His word. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we are His workmanship, created to do good works. So that's what we're supposed to do. And so when you think about it, what is the greatest thing we can do? I always go back and say the whole idea of what we're supposed to do, what is our purpose? It's to make disciples. It's leading people to Christ and then training them and equipping them so they can reproduce themselves. And when people start saying, what are we supposed to do? At our church, we have what we call our purpose, our plan, our process. Our purpose is to make disciples, as a plan is to equip the believers to do the ministry. And then the process is, we call it gathered and scattered. And we teach everybody that. And we teach them over and over. And we want people to grasp that and understand that the ultimate purpose of our local body is making disciples, which means leading people to Christ. That's the grace message, of course, and then training them, equipping them to do that. So when we think about it, what could be some good works? Well, telling others about Christ, meeting physical needs, teaching God's Word, encouraging others. Those are all good works. And so God's plan beforehand that we should walk in that. That means that the church, beforehand, God planned that this body of Christ, made up of individual believers who have believed in Christ for eternal life, this body is to be engaged in doing good deeds, that we're the workmanship that God says you will do what's right and good and all of that. I think about this verse, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who's in heaven. When I hear people say, all of you grace people, all you ever talk about is salvation is a gift, and you tell people they can do anything they want. Do y'all hear that? Tell me, do y'all hear that? That we hear that. We hear that that when you believe what we believe, that the straw man is, you just tell people they can live any way they want to. And we say, no, we never tell people that. We tell people that now, as a child of God, we, the believers, the body of Christ, we are God's workmanship, created to do good works. Wow. So, what have we seen? We've seen God's salvation plan, the grace, saved, faith, gift, not self, not work. But we've seen the Christian life. It's God's plan, our service as new creations, the body of Christ, God's masterpiece to do good works. And so, let me just give you some applications to think through. And then, do we have some time for questions? What? Oh, got 7 minutes. So if I talk 7 minutes here, I don't have to have any questions. Is that right? Well, I'll do it. Okay. So let's proclaim clearly God's salvation plan. And, you know, if you come to this conference, if you don't come away from here having an idea what the grace message is, you know, you're not listening. It is so perfect. And when you think about it, know God's plan of salvation. By grace we're saved through faith. And just think about it. It is grace, faith, salvation. It is God's gift. That's from this passage. But it's beautiful. It's not what we do. It's not our works. Lest anyone should boast. Let me go back. So if you want to write some of that down. But just know the plan. And know that. That's why I love Ephesians 2:8-9. If you can only have two little sections, I would say I want John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8-10. Because John 3:16 is so easy to share your faith, and Ephesians 2:8-9 tell you how you know what the salvation, and 10 is what we're ought to do about it. Be ready to share the message. Be ready to share the message. Here's what we do in our church. We have a bunch of courses. One of them is called the 4:12 and one's called the 2:2. 4:12 is based off Ephesians 4:12 and 2:2 is based off 2 Timothy 2:2. And one of the things we do in there is we go over at least know one or two ways to share your faith. And we teach people two things that are big. One is the one I showed you where we take John 3:16 and we say, what's the gospel message? He died and rose again. What's the response to believe? What's the offer? Eternal life. That's one way. The other way is we teach people to give their testimony. And it's just like they put up the last thing. There's so many people whose testimony is, I was a bad person, then I believed in Jesus, now I'm a good person. No. Your testimony is, what did you believe? I believed you had to be good to go to heaven. I heard the truth about Jesus Christ. I believed in Him. Now I know I have assurance of salvation, because that's your testimony. Okay, so know at least one way. Pray and then look for opportunities for people that you could share your faith with. The second thing is, let's live a life characterized by good works. I mean, that's the thing we're supposed to do. That's His plan, isn't it? Understand the place of works. They're not for salvation, but they're for believers so that we can live out a righteous lifestyle in a fallen world and do the good works. It's not for salvation, not to stay saved, but because we are saved. And I love Philippians 2, where we shine as lights in the midst of a... He says, do all things without grumbling and complaining, so you may prove yourself to be innocent and blameless, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation in which you shine as lights in the world. That's what we're supposed to be. And that's really, ultimately, the body of Christ. Okay, I think that's it. Phil, we got about 5 minutes for questions? Okay. Anybody got a question or anything? Yeah. Oh. Okay. Okay. Let's don't make anything hard now. Okay. How do we reply if you have genuine faith, you will want to do good?
Well, you, says
Yeah. If somebody said that, right? If somebody said, if you have genuine faith, will you want to do good works? Well, you know, here's the truth. I have the flesh and I have the spirit. And if I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, I'm going to do good works and I'm going to live righteously. And if I'm being pulled by the flesh, I'm not going to be. And so the bottom line is, it would be great that if every believer automatically wanted to do good all the time. But we don't, because sometimes the flesh lusts against spirit against flesh, or contrary one to another, you may not do the things you please. Paul said, I see inside of me evil inside of me. So I wish it was true that I wanted to do good all the time because I'm a believer, but I still have the bent to do wrong. So if you have true, genuine faith, will you want to do good works? I think part of me would. The good part of me would, the bad part of me would. If you have true, genuine, saving faith, you will have good works.
They say that.
I actually believe that even when you believe in Jesus Christ, you then have the fruit of the Spirit's going to come out, love, joy, peace. So you've done something right there. But the bottom line is, there's no guarantee that you're going to obey God, and there's no guarantee that you're going to automatically do good works. In fact, when I look at the New Testament, all of the letters, what are they saying? Almost all the letters are written to believers, except basically the Gospel of John, which is written to tell unbelievers how to be saved. So all of these letters are written to believers, and what do they tell them to do? Walk worthy of your calling. Stop doing this. Run this. He's telling believers to live right. Well, if we're going to automatically do right, why does he have to tell us? I mean, that's the bottom line. I just find that we're fallen people, even as saved people. We're new creations in Christ. That's why I think when Paul said, I'm a new creation in Christ, and when I sin, it's not really me doing it. It's my new self is not sinning. It's my old self is sinning. And so I think I would say, will you want to do good? Maybe, maybe not. Will you automatically do good works? I don't think you automatically will, but I hope we will. Great questions. What else? Any other questions? Any other thing? Yeah.
A lot of people get sucked into where they have to prove their salvation, but maybe at first they believed in Christ alone for salvation. So if you get sucked into that type of working for the Lord to prove your salvation, is there any verse that comes against that? Because we are judged by our motives.
What you're saying, but who's asking you to prove it? Somebody else? Or you're even yourself? Yeah, I mean, if what happens is when you believe in Christ and you have eternal life, and then somebody's told you that really the way you can know you're saved is you better look at your lifestyle, and they'll even quote a verse like, see if you're in the faith, and that's not talking about whether you're living by faith, it's talking about are you living by the Scripture. I mean, I just think that it's so dangerous when a person starts looking inside and seeing. Do you know your motives for everything that you do? No way. You know, there's just no way. And that's why even Paul says, I'm not even judging anything before its time. I'm leaving that to God. I don't even know my own motives. That's what Paul says. The truth is, if you start looking at everything on why you do everything, I just tell people, just be faithful. Just say, look, Lord, I just want my life to count for you. Wherever I go, whatever I do, just use me for your glory. And you just can't get so introspective that before you know it, you can't do anything because you're not even sure you're saved. You're like R.C. Sproul, who looks back and starts saying, oh, what if I'm not one of the redeemed? Oh, I look at my life. Oh, I see sin. Well, what do I see when I look at my life? Sin, right? And so I just tell people, just don't get sucked into that mess. I mean, it's just out there everywhere. I don't know.
I wonder if there's a specific verse that
well,
Romans 4:5, it says, it doesn't matter what I work, because if I believe, Romans 4:5,
yeah,
he who does not
believe, work, but believe, yeah. But she's saying, do your work, you're saying, am I making sure I'm doing works that show I'm a saved person? Is that sort of?
That you will miss out on rewards if you're doing it to prove yourself.
Well, the truth is this, you will miss out on rewards, but we don't know our motives all the time. And I think it's just, say the Lord, I just want to be faithful, Lord. You know, you can help a little old lady across the street, and you can say, everybody's watching me, this is good. But you'd get nothing for that. You can help somebody across the street, and you don't even think about it. God's going to reward you. If you can give money, and if you give money, and you give money where everybody knows about it, what does Jesus say? You already got your reward. So I think rewards, just be faithful, run the race. And I can't think of a verse off the top of my head, but there's all kind of verses that just say it's not works or anything like that, and it's just live for the glory of God. Yeah. Anything? Is time up? Oh, done. I'm sorry. Okay, we're done. Thank y'all. Thank you.